Welcome to our podcast, Transparently Speaking. I am Diana, and I have a son who transitioned at a young age to become his true self.
And I am Joy. I have also supported my daughter to transition at an early age. We are here to share our experience and our learning along this journey.
We want to provide support and guidance parent to parent. And if you find yourself on a similar journey, we want you to know that you are not alone.
So let's dive in, Transparently Speaking.
All right, Joy, I thought today we could talk a little bit about the fact that we are pre-recording some of our episodes here and preparing for launch. And as we're getting closer to our launch time, I am starting to have more thoughts and fears, to be quite transparent, about our safety as we go forward.
And when you talk about safety, Diana, tell us a little bit more. What kind of safety, or what's the fear about?
I think there are two main ones. I think the first one is, you know, we've decided to do this anonymously to protect our families and, you know, so that we could tell our story as parents and not try to tell our children's stories and take the focus away. But, like, I'm not a tech person, you know, I'm try to put things in to protect ourselves, but, like, I guess a tech person that wanted to could probably figure out who we are and then what. I think the other issue is that our children are both, per their desire, non-disclosed in our communities, and that puts them at risk of being disclosed, which is something they don't want. And I think the other issue is just the safety of our emotional wellness. Like, realizing that putting ourselves out there opens us up to hearing or comments of anyone who wants to say anything about us or what we do.
Yeah, I think that all of those fears and areas of kind of discomfort are real for sure. And I would definitely say that I share them to some extent. I think my biggest area or consideration throughout this whole journey has been how to support my child in a way that feels good for both of us. And I remember struggling even with this concept of non-disclosure, right? That my child didn't necessarily even identify as transgender, right. You know? And so what does that mean for me? And how do I support my child? And, you know, even as we're executing this podcast with this vision of supporting, you know, other families or friends or allies, you know, what does that mean for me in this option to be an advocate and to try to, you know, present in the world in such a way as to support that cause? It's really been a challenge for me.
Right. And I think we talked about this early on before we ever started I mean, that's how we got here, right? That this would be one way that we could advocate while respecting our children's wishes.
Yeah.
Because I think we knew how lonely, or maybe I should speak for myself, how lonely the journey was at the beginning, just not knowing other parents, and that not sure what to do and how to navigate things and doing all that research. And I mean, thankfully, 8 years later, there's a lot more information, but there's still gaps. And I think we wanted to provide some information, some comfort, some real talk.
Yeah, I think the real talk is key. And I agree. I think, you know, in the time since I've supported, you know, Samantha with her transition, it seems to me, it appears that there are so many more resources available to parents and there are so many more support groups. But then again, I wonder, Diana, you know, we also, I believe, have the benefit of living in a relatively decent sized metropolitan area. And right. I think about people in, you know, more rural areas and again, hope that our reach might extend to folks otherwise. But let's talk a little bit more about this, you know, kind of this fear of people figuring finding us out or bringing that to light and why that's relevant or how we're still choosing to move forward despite that.
Right. You know, I think the first thing that comes to mind is, again, almost 8 years ago when we began, there was an organization that gave a lot of guidance to parents called Trans Youth Family Allies. And there, they recommended a safe folder. And so what a safe folder is you literally a folder that you collect letters from physicians, from therapists, from teachers, just affirming your child's gender, saying they are who they say they are, and that you put in anything to help support it, like pictures prior to transition of them, you know, expressing themselves in that gender, or pictures they drew of themselves, even if they didn't look like, for example, you know, Clark had longer hair prior to transition, but he always drew himself with short hair and usually a tie. So those kind of things, so that if you had any issues with authorities, that you could show them that folder of support to help you out. And a lot of families gave stories where it helped them. And the most extreme cases were the Child Protective Services, where, and I don't think we see this as much anymore, but I think it still happens in certain areas, but that they're called to, because the parenting safety is questioned. I mean, I think we heard it in the news not long ago in a case in Texas, that the Child Protective Services would come in and sometimes even take the kids away if parents affirmed them and allowed them to transition socially or otherwise.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
I think I'm less afraid of that, but it's that there's still that ignorance out there. And I guess that's what drives me forward, is if this helps, you know, even one person have a great understanding, I think we've done a good job. And I think if it helps one family feel less alone and give them some guidance, I guess that drives me forward as well.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you use the term ignorance, which I would agree. I think a big part of this journey is learning, both, right, you know, for the family themselves who might be somewhere along the journey supporting a child going through this transition, or extended family or friends. And I think that concept of not knowing or not understanding often kind of breeds fear in people and generates some of this hatred. And I think that's one other thing we had sort of been chatting about, is this broader realm of kind of emotional wellness. We do anticipate at some point to receive some not very friendly commentary and, right, you know, and potentially these sort of hate comments. And so it's something else, I guess, we're aware of when we think about kind of safety and the risk we're taking to do this. That's something we've kind of taken ownership of and acknowledged that we may and expect to experience.
Right. And I know the comment often comes, well, don't read the comments. But I don't think we have that luxury. I mean, I guess we can choose it. But if we don't read the comments, then we might not be able to read the ones that are asking for help. Right? Like, we have to, or we don't have to, but we chose to put ourselves out there, a way to connect with us, to ask questions and to give guidance. And maybe that's something we just see how that works along the way, but to shut that down means to not help people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm kind of curious for your thoughts, Diana, you know, as others might be going through this, do you have any other wisdom, kind of share? We've been talking about kind of the fear and the risk that we're experiencing, everything from our identity to be determined. And maybe that's something else we can dive into a little bit more. But I feel like this concept of the hatred that's out there, you know, and the risk even to our kids being outed, really.
Right.
You know, is kind of this broader potential situation or challenge or fear that it might happen at any point in time.
Right. I think with what I would call uncontrolled thoughts, that fear of, oh, you know, he won't be able to handle it or it will destroy him. But when I have more deliberate thoughts, it's like, well, is that true? No, it's not true. You know, I think he is strong and capable and powerful. And so I think as a parent, that's a big thing, is managing those fears, because I haven't really dealt with much fear in the last so many years. But at the beginning, I remember the fear. Will he have friends? Will he find love? Will he, you know, be safe? Will, you know, I think his physical safety weighed on me a lot at the beginning, but as each day went by and then week and month and year, I began to realize that many people are living their truth and are fully safe, and that no one's completely safe. I mean, even if he wasn't a kid of trans experience, like, I worry about the safety of all our kids. So then it becomes a decision. Do I lead with fear or do I lead with love and confidence? And I want him to live his life with love and confidence. So that means I've got to start doing that and realize he will be fine. He has everything he needs and he will be okay.
That's really powerful. And I want to just highlight something I think that our listeners may also benefit from, is this concept I think that both you and I ascribe to or believe in, that by affirming our children's identity and their journey creates and provides so much safety for them. And in the stories that we've heard, and I agree with you, I feel like I've been able to kind of skate through these last several or few years without a lot of fear. And that the podcast, again, is maybe raising some of these potential concerns because it's becoming more real. We're going to launch this thing. But that in those early days, this concept of all the data I was hearing and reading about kids who are questioning their identity and the risk of them potentially, you know, attempting suicide or, you know, being more concerned about that level of acceptance, you know, whether it be within their family, within their friends, within society in general. And that this concept of when that data showed up for me, it just became a really clear vision of, oh my God, my child is important. My child's safety is important. And if what's required is to simply be affirming, then by all means, that is what I need to do as a parent.
Right. I think the Family Acceptance Project years ago highlighted it with showing that, and they took LGBTQ plus the entire community, but they showed that with acceptance, kids were 8 times less likely to suffer depression, bringing it almost to the general population numbers, just around the same, which goes to show how much family acceptance makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thankfully, I think thanks to many outspoken people, that awareness is rising. And that's why we don't see as much of the Child Protective Services stories that we used to, thankfully.
Yeah, I think it's a relief. I agree. I think, you know, even 5 years ago, things felt different and a little more challenging, and it feels more normalized now, whether or not that's, again, just because I'm living in my boots and in my shoes and in this experience. But I'd like to believe that we continue to make strides, you know, within society of broader awareness and acceptance.
Absolutely. And I think that we have to recognize that we can't control what other people think, what they say, what they feel. We can only control what we think and what we say and what we feel. So I don't have to own someone else's thoughts. They can think whatever they want. But I shouldn't cower, which is something I used to do a little bit of, oh no, I don't want to make them uncomfortable. But now I'm like, forget that. Like, I'm not uncomfortable. Like, if they're uncomfortable, that's on them. That's their own thoughts. I lead by example. And when I talk to people and they see that like we're happy, it makes a difference. And I'm not saying fake it, but it's truly happy. Like, we're fine. And it's like they expect some soap opera story. And when it's not there, it kind of opens their eyes. Mm. So
I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful, because I think what, you know, when we think through the potential considerations or the sort of dramatization, to your point, we can't control people's thoughts or considerations, but that fear comes from where those thoughts might lead in terms of behavior, right? How somebody might treat my child, how will they respond in terms of, you know, written comments on our podcast, et cetera, et cetera. But I believe that what you're sharing, Diana, is also really powerful. At the end of the day, how do we think about our sort of circle of control and influence in how what we're doing even here today as part of this podcast is trying to broaden that and expand minds and encourage people to be thinking differently in acceptance and learning in this space of love.
Absolutely. And if we can do that, then we'll be increasing the security for not just our families, but many families. So
wonderful. Do you have any other closing thoughts for us today?
Nope. I think I've said all that's on my mind.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you kind of sharing this. I do think we're excited about launching this thing and this concept of being undisclosed and having some level of anonymity with this podcast. We're hoping brings another level of protection, but again, our intent here really is to expand and support many others who are interested in learning about the journey or have an opportunity to really be allies. That's a wrap on this episode of Transparently Speaking. Thanks for joining us today. Join us again on the 1st and 15th of every month for our next podcast.
Thank you to Filter for our awesome music. That's P-H-I-L-T-Y-R. Check them out at Apple Music, YouTube Music, Spotify, or anywhere you download music. As a reminder, we welcome your feedback and questions. Email us anytime at transparentlyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com.
If you're taking something away from our podcast, we'd appreciate if you'd take a moment to provide us a review. The more listeners and reviews, the more people we can reach and support. Thanks in advance. Cheers from Joy
and Diana.